most frequently. Every time we listen to a song, we are exposed to its worldview. Every movie or TV show we watch represents a worldview. Every time we read a newspaper, magazine, novel, textbook, blog, or tweet, we see a worldview. Every conversation, every interaction, every personal encounter, they each convey a worldview. Consequently, many threads in the tapestry of our worldviews don't belong. They're not true. Our worldviews require truth, and if we haven't based them on God's word, the ultimate truth, then our worldviews rely on false and negative contributions of the world. Consider this. In the same Barna study I mentioned earlier, 62% of Americans polled said they consider themselves deeply spiritual. These same people were then asked how this deep spirituality affected their decision-making. Almost a third, 31%, said, "I make my moral choices based on what feels right and comfortable." Another 18% of this group said, "I make moral choices based on whatever is best for me." There's another 14% of Americans who said, "I make moral choices based on whatever causes the least conflict with others." Only 16% reported, "I make my moral choices based on what the Bible says, what God's word says." This means most Christians have non-Christian worldviews. You may be a believer and be on your way to heaven, yet still not have a Christian worldview because you got it from the world and not from the word. If we don't base our decisions on the Bible, then there will be devastating consequences. We need to get our worldviews from a correct word view. The biggest challenge to maintaining this will be that life won't always make sense. We struggle constantly with thoughts such as, "Why isn't my life working out like I thought it would? It's not what I intended it to be at all. Why do I feel so stressed all the time? Why is everything in my life such a mess? Why do my problems always overwhelm me?" And here's the short answer. We're using the wrong operating system. If we accept the world's worldview, it will mess up our lives here on earth. Not only will we struggle unnecessarily with problem after problem, but we will also miss out on rewards God has planned for us in heaven. We will get into heaven, but because we lived according to the world's standards instead of God's, we will miss out on the heavenly rewards God wants us to enjoy for eternity. If we want to maintain a worldview centered on Christ and live according to God's standards, then we must determine our core convictions. Just as a building must have load-bearing beams to support its structure, our worldview relies on beliefs determined by God's word. Otherwise, when the culture quakes of change occur, our worldview will collapse. Core convictions. Convictions require you to decide what's right ahead of time. They're not based on what feels good or seems right in the moment. They are instead the unmovable foundation upon which our lives are built. We don't need to be mean or judgmental when we share them with others, but we do need to be sure of them. Our beliefs, values, and moral convictions provide a starting point for what we think and feel, the decisions we make, and the actions we take. They shape every aspect of our lives. We can see how our convictions influence our lives most clearly in our relationships. For instance, my wife Tammy and I have been married for more than 30 years, and I'm the only guy who has ever kissed her. You know what that makes me? The best kisser in her world. Seriously, we decided early in our lives how we wanted our relationships, especially with the opposite sex, to honor God. As a result, when we married, we were both virgins and could give ourselves to each other fully, knowing we got to open God's gift of intimacy together without having to compare, complain, or compete with anyone else. I've talked to many people in the church who have struggled with the aftermath of giving their sexual purity away before marriage, but the good news is it's possible to become pure again in the eyes of God. If you've had that same struggle, know that God wants to restore you and heal you. That process can begin when you come before Him, ask for forgiveness, and lift up your hurt. Another thing Tammy and I agreed to when we got married was to take our vows as seriously as God takes them. We defined "till death do us part" as a lifetime commitment, no matter what. Consequently, we agreed to throw out two words from our dictionary: impossible, because it's not in God's vocabulary, and divorce, because it's not an option. I won't presume to tell you exactly what your core conviction should be, since a range of different convictions can all be rooted in the Word of God. But because I'm frequently asked about my own,